Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning. You thought I was going to say God is good, but I'm saving that for later. Grace and peace of Jesus Christ be with you. My name's Bruce Stark. I am a certified lay servant, in case you didn't know it. I like to throw that title around every now and then. I want to welcome everyone. This is the First United Methodist Church, Brighton Whitmore Lake, and I want to welcome everyone this morning and hope that you get a blessed day today. This is a church that wants to know God, love God, and serve God. We are continuing our series on Moments to Remember, so you're going to hear some of my moments to remember. Just relax, they're not that bad. But before you leave, when you came in, you received a bulletin, and inside the bulletin, you should receive a connection card. Please fill out the connection card, because that gives Karen something to do. She reads it, she likes to find out what's going on in your life. If there's anything you're interested in the church, check it off on the back, and she will put you in touch with the right person to do that. There's also yellow prayer cards in your pew backs. You can fill out the prayer card, and this is a praying church. They will pray for you or for whoever you feel needs prayers. My name is Bruce Stark. I told you that once already. We're also going to be joined in service by Sue Urban and Liz Hoover, and they are awesome, so you're going to have a great time today.
No pressure, Bruce.
No pressure at all. Now, it says here, invite the kids to Sunday school and nursery. Kids, go to Sunday school and nursery. I don't know exactly what all that means. But I have a couple of announcements I want to talk about today. The first one is the outdoor worship and the picnic next week, 11 o'clock at Whitmore Lake. There will not be an 11 o'clock service here today, but the 11 o'clock or next week. Today we're going to have one, don't worry. But next week there's not going to be an 11 o'clock service here, but you will be meeting at Whitmore Lake and they will have refreshments, and there's going to be outdoor service. There will be a 9:30 service, but then you want to see the, what? I thought you said no. Okay, there will be a 9:30 service and then 11 o'clock service at Whitmore Lake. Go down there, get blessed, get some food, and you'll have a great time. Second thing is that VBS registration is now online. I know it seems like a long time off, but with the 90-degree weather we've had lately, it's start time thinking summer. So VBS registration is online. Either check online or in your bulletin for information about VBS. Also, theater camp is online. Theater camp, check your bulletin or check online. You can find all the information there you need to know. Last announcement, there will be no Holy Communion today. In order to do Holy Communion, you have to have an elder. I'm not an elder, I'm just an older. So it doesn't... We need somebody that can do it right, and I evidently can't. You have to be an elder, and I'm just an older. So communion will be held next week here at the church. With that, please rise and as you are able and join us in our first song.
Please be seated and join your voices with mine in the opening prayer. Lord of all faithfulness, we sing your praise in worship. We long to be faithful. We long to know your will for our lives. Bring us ever closer to you through story, song, and prayer. Open our hearts to feel your presence in all that we do. In your name we pray. Amen. The scripture lesson this morning is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a long time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Sue. God is good. All the time.
God is good.
I had to do that a little quieter than last week. I scared Marty last week, so they said tone it down just a little bit. Today we complete a four-week series on Moments to Remember. We've already heard from Pastor John, Reverend Sue, and Pastor Lindsay. And they all did a wonderful, exceptionally good job on it. Now, you've heard the expression, saving the best for last. Yeah, I know you'd be laughing, because if you were expecting saving the best for last, you're going to be disappointed. Because in no way, shape, or form am I ever considered the best in that group of four people. So, we will not even think about saving the best for last, but keep in mind that if you are disappointed, church is all about forgiveness. So, would you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the inspiration of all of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer, and the one who remembers the good and forgives the rest. Moments to remember. My moments. And when you get to my age, you got a lot of moments, so I had to tone this down from a 3-hour sermon, but, you know. I've not been what you would call a faithful churchgoer all my life. When I was very young, my dad would load us in the car, go to grandma's house, and we'd pick her up, and then we'd all go to church. My grandmother passed away in 1962, and pretty much the family stopped going to church after that. I was never baptized as an infant, but in 1965, my older sister decided she thought she wanted to be baptized because none of us kids had. And at that time, my mother decided that all four of us should be baptized at the same time. I don't remember being a real big deal, but it must have had some kind of impact on me because I do remember doing it. All three of my sisters were baptized with me, and it just turned out to be a family thing. So I know I was baptized. I talked to my sisters, and they told me it was 1965. I was about 10. Even though we didn't go to church as a family when I was growing up, I always believed in God and Jesus, and I always felt like there was something there I didn't understand. My mother told me that when she was a child, she would spend a lot of time in church, and I do remember that on Good Fridays, which we always had off of school for the Easter break, Good Friday was the first day of Easter break, when I was a kid, from noon to 3, we were not allowed to go outside and play. We were supposed to stay in the house and be quiet. I'm sure a lot of other people remember Good Friday, spending noon to 3 inside the house. I wasn't sure exactly what all that meant at that time, but now I understand a little bit better. I know my mother spent time in the church, but I never really knew what my father's connection was to the church. My dad's dad, my grandfather, passed away when my dad was 15, so I imagine my dad had a pretty rough time of it. One story I can share about my dad's side of the family is that when I was 26 years old, I got invited to the Staskowski family reunion, and I had no idea why. I called my dad and I said, "Is there something you've been meaning to tell me?" Because I'm assuming that he got the same invitation, and he did. He says, "Yeah." He says, "I've been meaning to tell you about that." He just, it never came up, so I had to wait. He told me that when my grandparents were first married, they were in what was known as a mixed marriage. Now, mixed marriages back in the early 20s were a lot different than what mixed marriages are today. Back then, it was a Catholic and a Protestant. My grandfather got away from his family. He didn't spend much time. Also to the point where he changed the family name from Staskowski to Stark. And that's where we are now. So I guess religion had a big part of my life even before I was born. Now, I know you guys know that I tell a lot of stories, but this one's true, so. When I was a youngster, and I know it's hard to imagine me as a youngster, I was invited to go to vacation Bible school with one of my childhood friends, Chris. And unlike Pastor John's friend in his story, my friend showed up. I don't remember a lot about Vacation Bible School. It was the only year I ever went. But I do remember that while we were there, they started talking about being born again. And I had no idea what it meant. But I was curious. I had beliefs. I believed in God. Even though I didn't go to church a lot, I still believed in God, and I knew that there was something. So one day in class, they started talking about it. And I went to the teacher, and I says, "I think I'm interested." She says, "Well..." She says, "After class, we're going to do it." I said, "Well, that's great, but I'm supposed to ride the bus home." She says, "Don't worry." She says, "We'll get the bus to stay and wait." I says, "Okay, who else is doing this?" She says, "Nobody." "So I'm doing this by myself?" She says, "Yeah." I said, "Okay." I didn't really realize what impact it would have on me or what it was exactly all about. But I thought, you know, this is something that I felt like I should be doing. So I did it. Not sure what happened after that. I thought it was good. I got on the bus. I went home. Years later, when I was talking to somebody about it, and my mother was there, she says, "You know," she said, "I remember when you did that." She says, "And I'm not sure." She says, "But you seemed to calm down a lot after that. You were not as angry." And I'm thinking, wow. I thought it was just coincidence at the time that, you know, I was calm, and I didn't know that I was calmer. I thought I was just fine. But my mother said that I got calmer and I wasn't as angry, and I Looking back now, I think maybe that had something to do with it. I really should have been listening to my mother, because a lot of times we used to think that she was psychic. Not that she could tell fortunes or not that she could see the future or anything like that, but she had feelings. She would get a feeling about something going on. I used to have a little camper, and every now and then, just for the heck of it, I'd hook the camper up the back of my van and drive off and go camping for the weekend. She asked me one day, she said, "What do you plan on doing this weekend?" I said, "Not sure." I said, "I'm thinking of going camping, but I'm not sure." She said, "Well, if you do, be careful." I said, "Why?" She says, "I don't know." She says, "I got a feeling something bad's going to happen." Made up my mind right there. Leave the camper and the thing, stay at home. I'm not going camping. I know better than go against what my mother says. As it turned out, there was a friend of mine that was living in my upstairs for a short period of time, and he was living there during that time. He got in a car accident that Saturday. Nobody got hurt. Everybody was, he was fine. The other car was fine. The car got banged up pretty good, but that's kind of what we look back at and thought that was the bad feeling my mother had, because my mother knew him as pretty well too. Our scripture today talks about faith. I guess when I was growing up, I didn't know much about faith, not as much as I know now. I learned right from wrong from my parents. But that doesn't mean I always made the right choices. That's the nice thing about God and Jesus. When you make the wrong choices, they patiently wait for you to come around and make the right choices and welcome you back. Now, don't think for a minute that I'm telling you it's okay to go make some wrong choices just because God's going to welcome you back. Because sometimes the wrong choices have consequences. Sometimes it can be serious. You got to be careful and try to do the right thing whenever you can. God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. But he's given us free will and free choice. So sometimes the choices we make can be hurtful. I do know he'll be there to help pick up the pieces, but we can't go too far and expect everything to be peachy. It's funny, when I look back at some of the memories that I have now, I know it was God and the Holy Spirit in control. At the time, I didn't fully understand what was going on, but now I know better. I talked about having a small camper. I was in a camping group with a bunch of CB radio operators back in the day. And there's a lot of times that we used to go camping together. Be probably four or five, maybe six campers would go at the same time. Well, one weekend we were going to go up to a friend's farm, and I had a dirt bike at the time, and we put the dirt bike in the back of my van, and he was going to pull his trailer. He had just bought a brand new 24-foot travel trailer. He had moved to this from a pop-up. He had never, ever pulled this size of trailer before. But this was the first weekend he was going to do it. He's going to pull the camper up. I'm going to stay in the camper with him. I'm going to teach him how to ride my dirt bike. His wife said, "I'm never pulling that thing. It was too big for her. She had a hard time pulling the pop-up. She wasn't going to pull the big trailer." When you talk to this friend of mine, you ask him, "Well, how far is it from here to Saginaw?" He said, "Oh, about three beers." "How far is it here to Mackinac?" I said, "Oh, that's about six beers." This is how he judged time and distance. Well, we're down at this little area where he parked the trailer. I had the van there with the motorcycle in it. He's trying to get the camper set up and just getting totally frustrated, because when you're trying to set up a 24-foot travel trailer for the first time, it was late, and he's drinking, and he's just having a heck of a time with it. Him and his wife are arguing. The two kids are just kind of staying out of sight, but they're arguing, and they're trying to get it set up. All the time, I'm trying to do what I can to help, but there wasn't a whole lot I could do. We finally got everything ready to go, got in the camper. He got in the camper, I got in the van. All of a sudden, the van died. Battery went dead. We jumped the van, but you could tell that the lights were dim, the battery was weak, so we're thinking, do we really want to try to drive this up north? No. So we took the van back to my house, dropped it off, and I got in the car with them. Like I say, he'd been frustrated trying to set up the camper, and the whole time he was frustrated, the more beers he drank. So he was drinking pretty good. And I told him, I went up to the car, his car, as we got ready to leave, and I said, "You know, I'm only going to offer this once. Just keep in mind that the offer's open until we get there. that if you want me to drive, I have no problem pulling a 24-foot travel trailer. I said, but I'm not going to keep bugging you about taking over driving. If you need me to drive, I will. He said, okay. We got in the car, and the strangest thing happened when I got in the car. I got in the back seat with his two kids, and it felt like there was heavy pressure and weight on my shoulders. It was like somebody was pushing down on my shoulders. And it was scary. It was an eerie feeling. And I started thinking about it, and I thought, I've been put here to die. And it scared me. Not enough to get out of the car, but it scared me. And I had this strange feeling that I was put there to die. We started driving up north, and we're going up 75. They're arguing back and forth. He's drinking, they're arguing, it's going on. I'm in the back seat with the kids. The directions were wrong. The difference between Mount Morris exit and Mount Rose exit sound very similar, especially to the guy that gave us the directions, evidently, because he gave us the wrong one. We turned off of Mount Morris instead of Mount Rose. Now we're on, and this is late. I mean, you know, we spent all that time trying to get the trailer ready, and it's late, and it's dark, and we're driving down the road. He's arguing, they're arguing. Finally, she told him, get out of the car. She was driving. She's pulling this thing that she said she'd never pull. And they're arguing back and forth. Finally, he argues and says he's driving. All this time, it's just getting heavier and heavier and heavier and heavier. I'm thinking, oh, I wonder how this is going to work out. So we're on this dark, deserted road. I says, pull over. I got to relieve myself. I wanted to get out of the car for at least a few minutes. So I'm getting out of the car, and I'm thinking, you know what? I'm not doing this. I went back to the car when I was done. And I says, you have a choice. When this car pulls away from the side of the road, I'm either driving or I'm walking. I'm not riding anymore. I'm done sitting in the back. I says, if you want me to drive, I will drive. If you don't want me to drive, not a problem. See ya. And he argued with me. I said, okay. I started walking. And I had camped with these people before, and we were at a campground one time, and I didn't want to be there no more. And our campground was 2 miles away, and I started walking. So they knew that I was okay with walking. I started walking away. He finally pulled up to me and says, okay, you can drive. I got behind the driver's wheel of the car, and as I'm pulling away from the side of the curb, this weight just completely went away. And I was relaxed, I was comfortable. And then it made me think that I wasn't put here to die. I was put there to save them. I was their angel. Now, you read the Bible and they say they saw an angel and they were scared. I mean, there ain't many more scarier angels than me. But I honestly believe that at some time in our lives, we're all angels to somebody. Think about it for a minute. Is there somebody in your life that you can think of that maybe you were an angel to? Or think of somebody being an angel to you? God sends people to do some of the things that he can't be here and physically do as his angels. So we're all his angels. In the scripture today, we read, now faith is confidence and what we hope for, and assurance of what we do not see. We all hope for the same things: health, happiness, financial stability, our kids' success, peace, and love. Our faith is the confidence that God will be there to help us achieve them. The kicker is that sometimes we take God for granted. We don't even realize that he's in our corner, rooting for us to succeed. And maybe that's the assurance about what we do not see. As I look back, the times when I didn't think God was in my life, I now realize he was there all the time. We all have different ways of showing our faith. Whether we think about it or not, God is always with us and always in our corner, hoping for us to do the right thing. But he's always there to help pick up the pieces when we falter. He loves us when we do good or bad. But if we do bad, he forgives us every time. God loves you. Ain't a darn thing you can do about it. Have faith in yourself. Have faith in God. Do what's right. If you don't, God will forgive you. But let's make it easier on God. Let's do what's right. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you know us when we do the right thing. You love us when we falter and miss the mark. We thank you for all your gifts and all you do for us. In this time of worship, we give thanks that you are ever with us. We thank you for your presence in our midst. Enable us always to be grateful for all you give us, lest we take your goodness for granted. Amen.
Us do double duty around here. We could always use more volunteers to sing or be liturgist or do this reading thing. Anyway, today's prayer quilts are for Bill and Marissa and a child of God who prefers not to be named right now. As you leave the sanctuary, you're invited to tie a knot on each quilt, offer a prayer for each person, and sign each card, letting them know that we are praying for them. And like what Bruce went through, when I learned that it was my turn to do the congregational prayer, this has happened to me 3 times now, so I kind of expect it to continue. A thought comes to mind. I was like, okay. I try to ignore it, but that doesn't usually work. So I thought, well, I'll go with it. The thought that came to mind this time was bridge over troubled water, like a bridge over troubled water. And I thought, well, I don't think that has anything to do with prayer or God, so that's not going to work, but it wouldn't go away. So, of course, I went to the good old internet, because everything you learn there is true. And I thought, well, let me look at all the words of the lyrics of the song. And while I was looking that up, it said, what's the origin of bridge over troubled water? I can go there, you know, I can be distracted like everybody else. And it turns out that Simon or Garfunkel, one of them, had heard an old Baptist hymn that had the phrase in it, bridge over troubled water. And it referred to Jesus helping us over those difficult times. He's our bridge between our difficulties now and our joy in the future. I thought, okay, I get it. So that's where we are today. So it talks of God's unending, unstoppable love for us. So please rest your mind and open your heart and hear these words of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for the quilt recipients today. We pray that they feel your arms and love wrapped around them when they use these quilts. We pray that they feel your presence in their lives as they deal with their troubles. We pray that their faith will help them see past this darkness to see the light just beyond their understanding. Lord, so many people around the world are experiencing troubled waters, floods, cyclones, drought, unsafe drinking water, starvation. So many people are experiencing pain or sickness, pollution, war, isolation, feeling unloved. Help us to have faith, to know that there are those unseen things that you have in store for us. Help us to be a friend, to sail right along with someone in need. Help us be the bridge for someone who just needs a little help getting over their troubles. Help us to have faith in the sacrifice Jesus made, so that our life on earth is hopeful, so that our future is not shrouded in darkness. Help us to ease our minds, to know when it's our time to shine, to know that all our dreams are on their way. Lord, looking away from troubled waters, there is so much for which we are thankful. Sunshine, the moon glow, stars, trees, green grass, pretty flowers, friends, family, community, our faith. Hear us now as we silently express our praise and petitions. Heavenly Father, you have heard our praise and our concerns. Help us keep our faith, to remain hopeful as you create our future. In the meantime, hear us repeat the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you for sharing prayer with us, Liz. Appreciate it. I'd like to call the ushers forward now to collect the offering. And while they're collecting the offering, I want you to realize if you are a first-timer with us, your presence is a gift in itself. We'll catch you next time. If you're a regular member, if you've been here before, please give generously that the programs of this church may be able to increase and grow. Come on, you can come. And so while the ushers are doing the offering, I would like to call Allison up, because Allison has a unique outfit and a special message for you. I wonder if I could borrow that sometime.
Well, I just got to say, I love the atmosphere in here. But I have to ask you a question. How do Earth, Saturn, and Neptune organize a party? They plan it. Yeah. Speaking of making plans, I hope you've noticed that some of the plans that we have made as a church are starting to bear fruit. And that means that we have more and more children around here in our orbit these days. Yay! And this takes an incredible team of people to pull this off. But this is, in fact, the prime mission of our church. And our mission is to keep them coming. Would you believe I have so many new cadets in training already exploring God's story and launching a lifelong faith in Jesus? On average, we have about 25 kids every Sunday in Sunday school and nursery. But Houston, we have a problem. A problem that I know I've come to the right place to seek the help and the answer for. And despite what you might think, it's not rocket science. I just need a few more people to join my team. And besides Bruce, I will not make you wear this outfit. We would like to provide a space for the children of our church to continue to grow in faith. So I'm looking for more people to step up and volunteer in the nursery. And I will say right now, there's only one or two kids in there, so it's not a big deal. And they're lovely. And I'm looking for a commitment of more teachers, starting in the fall especially, to join my team. And what I'd love to have is for you to commit to just once a month or once every 2 months. It's really reasonable, and I have a really user-friendly curriculum, and I would love to have you talk to me about that. But in the immediate moment, I would like to provide Sunday school all summer for our kids who are coming. So we are going to have our, the immediate ask I have is that you would commit to teach just one Sunday this summer. Maybe you're someone who enjoys the theme of space. We're going to do that theme all summer and do really fun projects with the kids. Or if you're someone who's like, I can just show up and be a second adult there as the lead teacher does their magic, that would also be helpful. We will have our stellar theme all summer, not just the week of VBS. What was that? Did someone say VBS? Okay. Houston, while I have you, I am also looking for a whole team of people to volunteer August 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. Now, I can tell you, we've already had about 85 kids register, so they are coming. We must be ready. For both of these missions, I invite you to visit my rocket in the community room and sign up there to be a special guest in Sunday school and or help at VBS. I'm going to float back there, and I will see you after service.
Lord, we give our offerings to you. Bless what we have given from our hearts.
Make it useful in creating a place where your people can know love and forgiveness. Help us to continually use our resources for good in the world. Amen.
When I was a kid growing up, a lot of people used to call my dad Stosh. I never really did know at the beginning why. Now I guess I do. Go now in peace. Do your moments to remember. Follow the right path. Do what God wants you to do. Don't forget, on your way out, watch the screen. You might see flat Jesus up there. You might see your flat Jesus up there, unless you didn't do one. And if you didn't do one, go ahead and do one. Maybe it'll be up there next week. Now go, in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, go in peace. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.